The views and opinions of this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers. There is substantial risk of loss in trading futures and options, which you should carefully consider prior to trading.
Bringing you the ag information you need, this is Market Talk, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Well, we saw a mostly quiet and mixed market day to start off the week on Monday. We're going to talk about that here on Market Talk. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. We have plenty to get to here on the show today. Appreciate you being with us once again as we talk about what's happening in the markets. We are nearing the end of the month of April, of course. That could lead to some added volatility. First Notice Day in front of us. We have Fed Week on Wall Street happening as well. And of course, we're trying to work our way through spring planting season, seeing some nasty weather here over the last couple of days. We're going to talk about all of that and more here on today's program. Coming up, we're going to talk markets with John Heinberg from Total Farm Marketing. He'll be with us after the bottom of the hour in segment 3 and 4 today to give us his perspective on this market action. Pretty quiet to start the week. A little pressured Chicago wheat, while the rest of the wheat complex, corn, beans, really just kind of mixed and quiet in two-sided action on the day on Monday. We saw a livestock trade kind of mixed to slightly lower as well, and pretty quiet in the outside markets on the day on Monday. We did try to extend some gains in the soy complex as we worked through Monday's session. We're going to talk about all that again coming up here with John Heinberg from Total Farm Marketing in just a little bit. Also, thinking of the nasty weather we saw over the weekend, thoughts with folks affected by tornadoes in Nebraska, Iowa, Oklahoma, etc. More heavy rain being seen here as well over the last couple of days, and more in the forecast. We're going to talk about all that with Eric Snodgrass, Principal Atmospheric Scientist at Nutrient Ag Solutions. He's going to join us for our weekly weather conversation. That's coming up here in segment 2 today. So a lot to get to on today's program. Thanks again for joining us. Let's get right to some market analysis with Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX. I talked to Arlen midday on Monday, got his thoughts and perspective on the market trade. Fairly quiet overall to start the week. We discussed the action in the grains, specifically the wheat markets, and then also discussed Fed Week on Wall Street, a little bit in the livestock trade as well. Here is comments from Arlen Suderman with StoneX from Monday's midday commentary.
Yeah, it seemed like last week we'd be down overnight and then the U.S. deaths would open up and that's when the buying would come in. And this week it's kind of the opposite. We saw a little bit more strength overnight following through and the U.S. deaths have sold it off. As we look at Chicago, that is what kind of really jumps out at you in their wheat market, down about 18 cents as you and I are talking. So big losses, whereas Kansas City is down less than 3 cents at the time. And I think that spread is key. That would suggest that concerns are easing a little bit for Russia, or maybe saying we've priced in the Russia risk at this point, because frankly, it's fairly early in their spring growing season yet at this point. The weeks ahead will become more critical. And there were some showers in the forecast as possibilities, although confidence is low, whereas about half of the U.S. hard red winter wheat belt continues to be dry, extremely dry in many areas of that area. And crop ratings this afternoon are expected to decline for the hard red winter wheat while likely going up for soft red winter wheat. So that spreading between Chicago and Kansas City continues. Corn and soybeans going a whole lot of nowhere, kind of biding some time until we get clear indications on the planting progress.
Fed Week on Wall Street, couple that with the end of the month as well. That could always lead to some extra volatility. Some early thoughts and indication on what this week could look like from an outside market perspective, Arlen.
Yeah, I think that's going to be key. Another reason why the commodities aren't doing too much overall is what will the Fed do? And that statement comes out on Wednesday. Expectations are that we will not get any change in the interest benchmark interest rate that the Federal Reserve has, but we may get some wording changes regarding its tightening of the balance sheet. And then it's obviously its comments in the press conference are going to be critical as well. And watching what those treasury yields do going forward in response to those statements. And then we have a lot of employment data coming out Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of this week that I think will be critical as well for setting the tone of the outside markets ahead of next week's big USDA report that'll give us the first balance sheets for the 24-25 marketing year.
Livestock trade, real quick, kind of a mixed bag there as well. Any big notes for you in cattle or hogs?
Yeah, as we look at the hog market, the commitment traders report on Friday from the CFTC showed that the managed money is still holding big long positions there, and that made traders a little bit nervous. They're easing back a little bit on that today. When we look at the cattle market, the bird flu in dairy cattle is still continuing to make headlines, with a confirmation in a dairy herd in Colorado now making the ninth straight. That's keeping the trade very nervous going forward. What's going to happen and what are the implications going to be for the cattle herd?
And once again, Arlen Suderman there, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX, joined us for our midday commentary on Monday. Well, the ethanol industry and its backers in Congress have a new concern over the Environmental Protection Agency's handling of summertime E15 sales allowed so far on a temporary summer-to-summer basis. Ethanol producers and corn growers won a partial victory earlier this year when the EPA announced it would allow summertime E15 sales permanently in 8 Midwest states, but not until next year. Now, a top ethanol state senator says even that date may change.
I'm hearing rumors the Biden administration might even delay the implementation of that rule for those 8 states till 26. And I've let them know that better not be the case.
Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley argues it's bad enough the rule applies to just those 8 states, Illinois, Iowa, Missouri, Minnesota, Nebraska, Ohio, South Dakota, and Wisconsin. Grassley and Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar would change that.
Our legislation would codify the year-round nationwide sale of ethanol blends above 10%. The bill has support from Republicans and Democrats, small ethanol refiners, and can you believe it, even major oil producers.
But as for the immediate issue of delayed rule implementation in the 8 affected states, a spokesperson for the senator says ethanol industry members have voiced concern. They fear the administration, quote, may not be moving in a timely enough manner to implement year-round E15 in the Midwestern states by next year, end quote. Now, also, we are looking at possibly getting some climate modeling news on Tuesday for sustainable aviation fuel. That, according to the University of Illinois Farm Policy News, they say the Biden administration expected to release a climate model for its sustainable aviation fuel subsidy program on Tuesday. The rule will dictate how ethanol producers can use climate-smart agriculture to qualify for tax credits in the production of sustainable aviation fuel. The ethanol industry views SAF as a way to build demand for its products going forward as gasoline consumption is expected to decline. A Reuters report says, quote, to access SAF subsidies, producers must demonstrate that their feedstock is 50% lower in emissions than jet fuel, end quote. As the report says, it will leave producers a pathway to the subsidies if they can partner with corn growers that use sustainable farming practices. So we'll be waiting to see if that news does in fact come out here on Tuesday. All right, coming up next, let's take a look at what's happening with the weather. We're going to recap some of the devastating tornadoes and more and look ahead to the month of May. Eric Snodgrass with Nutrien Ag Solutions joins us next here on Market Talk.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
If you miss an episode of Market Talk, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Market Talk on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
The market news and analysis you need here on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
But we had a pretty nasty weekend of storms in many parts of the plains in the Midwest here this past weekend, and plenty of heavy rain as well, and looking like maybe some more potential of storms and heavy rain here this week ahead as we get ready to flip the calendar over to the month of May. Let's talk weather. Joining us now, Eric Snodgrass, Principal Atmospheric Scientist at Nutrien Ag Solutions. Eric, good to catch up with you again, my friend, and I'm sure you were busy over the weekend, as many folks in the weather community were. Very, very tough to watch some of those videos and pictures of just devastating tornadoes in parts of the plains. And I know our thoughts are with folks affected. Give us a bit of a recap of what we saw this past weekend.
Yeah, if you early Monday morning, the last 5 days or so has produced 168 reports of tornadoes. Now they'll filter that down. Some of those are duplicates, but you know, just for perspective, that's like, there's 168 hours in a week. So that's like one an hour, if you want to think of it that way. It's extremely active time frame. Certainly the last few days here, we've seen some incredible damage. And I have to say this, outside of the harder winter wheat belt, most of the areas that got hit hardest with the severe weather had yet to get a full crop established. So if there's a silver lining to it, is that we didn't hit this when corn was, 3 feet tall and just ripped across the country. But that doesn't take away from the flooding that happened. So we have some places of the plains in the Midwest that picked up 6 to 10 inches of rain in addition to all of this. And that's going to go down as one of our busiest weeks in terms of severe weather in U.S. history. And the damage pictures, I mean, we had major metropolitan areas that got hit. So that certainly makes national news. And of course, you saw what happened through parts of Omaha and surrounding communities. And so this was a really rough week. And the weekend, really hit some folks hard. But I'll say this, the soil moisture maps, after all that rain, make it look like we didn't even have a drought last fall. But it's spring rains coming in, and what it's doing is just delaying things in a big way. And we have a lot of rivers that kind of surround parts of the end of the Missouri River Basin as it gets toward the Mississippi are in flood stage right now, as are places down south in Texas, Louisiana, and Arkansas. So, very active weekend, not a whole lot of sleep to be had by us meteorologists, but that's kind of what we signed up for. So we're paying close attention to this kind of pattern.
Very true. Very true. Well, as we watch into this week ahead, it seems like we got more potential here for some of this rain, and more as we kind of flip this calendar over to the month of May. It seems like planting windows here this week might be tough to come by in some parts of the country, Eric. Am I right?
Yeah. And, earlier the Eastern Corn Belt was shut down because of too much rain, while the West didn't have enough. But it was too early. We're still having frost events. Soil temperatures weren't where we exactly wanted them. And then now it got so wet in the western side of the Corn Belt, the East is getting a smaller break, parts of it along the Ohio River. I mean, northern Indiana, not the case. They're extremely wet there, just like Illinois is. But, the pattern is just going to make one small change. Instead of like racing into the West, running from north to south, from like Washington to California, then coming over the mountains and ejecting, we're going to have them now entering the Northwest and going straight toward the northern plains. And that's probably going to be the pattern we have around till, I'd say, May 7th, 8th, 9th. So we're not going to slow down the progression of systems. They're going to look different, but they're not going to slow down the progression of these systems, which will ultimately result in tighter windows as we go forward. But it does appear that once we get past May 7th, 8th, 9th, we get a little bit of a break. It's going to take a while for things to dry down, but we could be starting to look at some parts of the Corn Belt showing up with some delays in planting. What's interesting was, Jesse, I mean, if you'd asked me weeks ago, I thought, hey, we'll see some normal planting progress. We'll get going. This near-term pattern is kind of hitting us hard right here at the very beginning for getting some of those big acres in the central United States going. So, yes, I think once you get past, May 7th, 8th, 9th, we start to see normal spring windows for planting open up. But until then, I think things are going to be pretty tight.
Well, it's something we'll obviously watch the forecast. And I know for plenty of folks, you get that calendar later into May, they start to maybe worry a little bit if they got a lot of crop to put in the ground in some areas. I'll be curious to watch the planting progress report here too, and see some of those areas that have gotten planted and all the rain, how much that's going to help with some of this early establishment and getting some early emergence here with some good soil moisture to work off of for a while, Eric.
Yeah, we got to get the heat on this crop too to get it to pop out of the ground. And if you're in the north or in the western, you know, plains, it's going to be hard to come by. We've got a lot of cold air in the north setting up in the near term coming out of the Canadian prairie. I mean, this morning, Jesse, it was snowing in North Dakota. We had snow over the weekend that came off the Front Range, hit Nebraska. So there's some folks out there that are not getting the early heat that we need. You know, we got it all back in January and February. Now here we are at this point, and we certainly need it. The other thing I worry about with all this rain is, you know, growers talk to me a lot about how, you know, you get so muddy after you plant, and if you do get a dry stretch, it like puts a crust on top of that, which makes emergence difficult. So hydrologically, we needed the water, but in terms of our operations, there was a lot in some places that don't need this much rain for this time of year.
Well, let's talk, shift our focus to South America here a little bit, Eric. What are some things you're watching down there? We've kind of touched on this. It seems like the Safrinha areas in Brazil are going dry and getting hot. Argentina's watching a few systems, it looks like, kind of waffle around. What's the latest you're seeing down in South America right now?
Yeah, we normally expect the monsoon to slow down at the end of April and beginning of May. So if you just think about it, like in Mato Grosso, right, they grow about 45% of the Safrinha corn. May precipitation, roughly speaking, is about a third of what April is. So this, there is a normal slowdown to the dry season, but it's just a bit early, by about two weeks or so, maybe a bit more than that. And I was looking this morning at a rainfall map from the last couple of weeks, and satellite derived in parts of southeastern Brazil, getting into like Mato Grosso do Sul, have missed out on some good rains as of late. So now we're going to put dry conditions in that area with temperatures 5 to 8 degrees Celsius above average. This is just a rapid dry down in that area for this crop that's either right at pollination or going into early grain fill. So you can back me up on this if I'm right or wrong, but I still feel as though the markets are saying, well, prove it. Is there really a problem? Mm-hmm. And on top of that, how much of the crop is vulnerable to the normal dry down we get this time of year? But I have to just tell you to layer on another thing. Southern Brazil, like Rio Grande do Sul, getting into Paraguay, Uruguay, Argentina, nonstop rain. I mean, huge storms over the weekend. I saw some massive hail that fell down there. Plus, we had a whole lot of just flooding rains. So we put all that together and just say that if you're trying to get through grain fill and past it, this is not perfect weather by any stretch, too dry north and too wet south. So there's a lot to be seen down there. And I think the markets are saying, all right, well, what was acreage? What's expected? Is it enough to peel back such that we make a dent in the global supply and then start to have a real spring discussion here in a rally in the Midwest United States? I don't know. But I think it's a story heading in the right direction for that.
No, and I would agree with you. That seems to be the market sentiment. The markets, it seems like more as of late, have been more focused on the dryness concerns in southern Russia, Ukraine, some of the worries in the Kansas wheat belt. That's kind of been the more market focus here as of late. Any notes on anything you've been watching over in Europe and southern Russia here, Eric?
Yeah, I mean, the temperature has been pretty volatile around the Black Sea. And I've seen some of the maps that you're referencing, you know, the dryness in southern Russia, but like it's that little spot that kind of squeezes down there where Russia's between Kazakhstan and Ukraine. You know what I mean? That little, the southern, where it's been a bit drier. But nothing, I mean, I know we've heard about the reports, but I haven't seen any large scale issues that I think could really tip it. I think, to be honest with you, it's the Kansas issue. I mean, mm-hmm. Central Kansas is having its third driest April since 1893. I mean, Central Kansas, we have places there that have just received nothing. You get to eastern Kansas into Missouri, and now it's the complete opposite. I mean, you get into western Missouri, it's the ninth wettest April since 1893. So the split there is such that the dry dome that's sitting over central Kansas, and by the way, they're going to hit 90 later on this week, okay? That dome in there just seems to not be able to be broken down. And I've got a lot of growers in there that are looking at a wheat crop that, I mean, they're about done with it. I don't think Mother Nature can do much to revive it at this point. So I'm quite concerned about the central and southern plains.
Well, we'll be watching the weather. And I know, of course, folks can go to agweather.com, ag-wx.com for more information. And Eric, always appreciate the time. Thank you for joining us again this week, and have a great week. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, sounds good. See you, Jesse.
And once again, always appreciate a conversation with Eric Snodgrass from Nutrien Ag Solutions. And again, find more online. Just go to ag-wx.com. That is ag-wx.com to find all the latest weather information from Eric and his team at Nutrien Ag Solutions. All right, coming up next, let's take a look at what's happening in the markets here in the early part of the week. John Heimberg with Total Farm Marketing will join us after this. We'll be back with Market Talk right after the break.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
If you miss an episode of Market Talk, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Market Talk on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
The views and opinions of this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers. There is substantial risk of loss in trading futures and options, which you should carefully consider prior to trading.
Keeping you informed with the latest market information for your operation. This is Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Well, as we take a look at Monday's market action, we saw kind of a mixed day. Pressure in Chicago wheat, while KC and Minneapolis wheat did their best to hold up on the day. A little bit of green in soybeans at meal. Corn largely stuck in the middle. Quiet in cattle and hogs. Let's talk about this and take a look at what was happening on Monday's trade. John Heimberg with Total Farm Marketing joins us for market analysis here today on the show. John, good to catch up with you again here this week. I know you and I both are happy with our Packers draft that we got here with the NFL draft the last couple of days. I know that that largely took most of my Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday sitting on the couch watching the draft. What about you, John?
Yeah, I watched it a little bit in passing. I wasn't quite glued to it like I normally am, and trying to get some stuff done before the storms kind of came through that was there. But again, a team that is younger gets younger and faster, so it's always encouraging and makes me excited for the season, because right now the Bucks and the Brewers just aren't kind of doing it for me at this moment. So
yeah, I know a lot of impactful players drafted as well, a lot of quarterbacks. We'll see if they pan out as we move forward, but I don't know, it's always a fun time of year for me is to watch the NFL draft. And I guess it maybe took my mind away from the markets a little bit. We had quite a few up days last week, and then we come in here on Monday and Chicago wheat, downside leader. KC wheat, spring wheat, though, kind of a mixed bag, maybe some intermarket spreads there. I don't know. It just sounds like that maybe still some concern for the HRW wheat belt, but then maybe a little improvement in Russia, a little improvement in U.S. soft red wheat areas, and that kind of led to some profit-taking, it felt like, on Monday, John.
Yeah, kind of a volatile market, that wheat market today, especially on this, the Chicago wheat with its bigger push lower. And that all started on Friday afternoon when we had a nice run out. And then we saw that kind of a correction. Technically, it wasn't a real good close on the charts there in terms of momentum. Got that fall through today. I do think first notice day was a factor in the grain markets today, as well as anyone long a May contract needs to be out or risk delivery here by the end of the day today. So I think that brings some extra play in. That's why you see some of the numbers, like spring wheat, we got 18 cents higher on that May contract. That's probably tied to those issues a little bit more. So we'll see how it shakes out over the next couple of days. The biggest thing is let's keep focused on the weather there. HRW or KC wheat, we did see some rains in the eastern belt for that, but again, the western side stays dry. So we're going to continue to watch what happens to those crop ratings that'll come out this afternoon. Probably will continue to see them slide. So that's adding a little bit of support to that market over the Chicago market. And then you go into the spring wheat with some of the rains that are forecasted, some of the rains that came through. Maybe we got a little bit of a planting concern up in that regard. So putting a little wet weather premium maybe into that SRW crop, the hardwood spring wheat crop. So that can be part of the play as well today. So a lot of little moving pieces, but it seemed to be a little bit of a wet blanket that definitely probably stayed on top of the corn market. you know, today. But I'm going to give corn a little credit. We had a chance today. It looked like when we were pushing about four down, it felt like it was about ready to crack and make a slide. And buyers kind of stepped in and kept us basically tied to that 440 May, 450 July price levels. The market finished relatively quiet overall on a choppy kind of a day.
Choppy kind of a day, and you hit it first notice day here. I think I would agree with you. That seemed to be a big driver, plus the weekend weather and in some cases rain makes grain here a little bit. Just kind of a choppy market. And to your point, you know, when we saw options expiration last week and then first notice day, I mean, you even highlighted this for me. May oats were all over the board on Monday, John. So, you know, largely, I think to your point, just some of that end of the month volatility is something to watch here, not only for Monday's trade, but even into Tuesday and Wednesday probably as well here, John.
Yeah, I mean, it just really felt like a lot of rebalancing going on today. I mean, you know, let's go back to last week, basis contract. You mentioned May options expiration. Here comes first notice day. We got the end of the month, you know, coming right around the corner here as well. So it's just, I think it's just a spot here. We're just seeing some money maybe try to focus on where it wants to go, square itself up. And that's, I think, some of the reason we're just so doggone choppy. You know, I got myself scratching my head right now. Do I want to stay a little longer? Do I want to stay aggressively on the defensive side? And where are we at with things? And it's just kind of a tough window right now to really get a grip on what's going on. You know, the other thing we haven't really talked about, too, in that corn market that's been very friendly, talking to producers, the basis levels are very good out there on the cash market side. One producer was getting 20 to 30 over the board, trying to get some, as these end users, no guys are busy. They're in the field. They want to pull, you know, and while we got a little moisture, maybe they can get some corn sold here. So they're throwing some incentive to do that. So that leads you to a couple different questions. I mean, obviously, you know, we know what's in storage according to the grain stocks report and things of that nature. Is it maybe the supply is not there, or guys being that tight fisted with it right now with the grain bins locked? I think it's a combination maybe of the two. We'll see. You know, so there's some things that have been just kind of preventing this market from wanting to just fall apart. But again, at the same time, there's just enough things over top of it that we just can't go anywhere. And realistically, if you draw a line right through the middle of our trading range going back to February, we haven't moved too much off either side of that. You know, for that July contract, you know, 450 on the top here and 435 on the bottom. And we've just been ping-ponging back and forth, realistically, since the middle of February.
I wonder, too, here, John, as we're working through U.S. planting and we'll see where things go. I know another active weather pattern here this week that could slow us down a little bit, but we'll see what the crop progress numbers out Monday afternoon take or look like here and how that plays in. But you know, I feel like the next few weeks ahead here, we got the big May WASDE report coming up on the 10th. And I wonder if this trade might not, you know, once we get through the beginning of the month and all the different options and first notice day, et cetera, here and rebalance things, I feel like this trade could maybe chop around into that May WASDE report, John.
Yeah, there's a possibility we could even see some selling into that report as well. You know, we're expecting those 24-25 numbers to be relatively heavy. I mean, they're going to use trendline yield 181. We got the acre number, you know, from the March intentions report, right or wrong, and that's going in there. Then we got to assess what the demand's going to be. And we're looking at carryout 2.3 to 2.5 million or billion bushels for next year. And you're talking of stocks use in that 15 to 16% window. And that's some of the highest stocks use ratio numbers or percentage numbers since 2006. So a market might start positioning for itself there, especially if planning is where we think it's going to be today, around 27% done. You know, we'll obviously have to really watch that with the weather forecast coming up over the next handful of days. It might be kind of tough to get some more acres in some of these regions here, maybe into that report. So, you know, that's something we'll have to watch. You know, biggest thing is for corn on that. That's probably going to be our biggest number for the year in terms of carryover, because any adjustment off of the yield from there due to planting issues or weather issues or wherever, that's only going to bring carryover down. 181 seems extremely high, but if we have a good year, it could be done. But you know, we haven't done that for the last handful of years. So it's one of those things that can be interesting how the market handles that number. You know, we talk about, and I don't think that 2019 is going to happen. When that was our year, we had nearly 20 million acres of prevent plant. The funds were sitting as short as they were, if not shorter, during that time frame. And, you know, we got to that May 10th report. That's when it is again this year. We got that USDA number. That very next Monday, we turned over. We had a slow planting pace progress report on the 13th of May, and we were off on a dollar rally in less than a month. You know, just because the shorts wanted to cover. Not saying that's what's going to happen here, but that might be something we need to start thinking about, is maybe we got some volatility coming here, especially if the planting pace really were to slow down. This market's going to take that number for next year and immediately start discounting it because of the fact, you know, the carryover could be coming down. Now, just to put comparison on that May report in 2019, we're at 2.49 billion bushels of carryover. So just kind of shows you, even though the numbers are still big, we could still see a pretty good rally if the market feels that way because of the shortness of the positioning. So that's something I'm kind of thinking about right now. I'm going to be watching very closely. Same thing kind of goes with the soybean market there as well. Biggest problem with the soybean market is still the competition from those South American supplies that are coming at us. You know, corn's at least got a leg up right now, at least in terms of the demand side, that could keep, still support that market. So getting a little more friendly corn, not bullish by any stretch until proven otherwise, but at least at the stage where, hey, if things start moving higher here, we do want to make sure we're attacking that aggressively with sale targets, put strategies, things underneath, finishing out that 2019 story. We peaked on the 17th of June. By the middle of September, we were below 350 as our fall low.
Well, once again, that is the voice of John Heimberg with Total Farm Marketing joining us for our market analysis here today on Market Talk. We appreciate him being with us, of course. We're going to continue the conversation. We're going to talk livestock and dairy as we get into the final segment of today's show coming up here in just a minute. Let's take a look at some of the closes from Monday, though. Again, that first notice day seemingly having a little impact here. May corn down 3/4, 439 at a quarter. July corn down 3/4, 449 at a quarter. December new crop corn 3/4 lower, 472 3/4. May soybeans 1 1/4 higher, 1160 3/4. July up 4 3/4 at 1182. November beans up 3 1/4, 1178. Bean meal, May up 8.30 a ton, 348.30. May bean oil, that was down 124 points, 43.69. Chicago wheat, May 13 lower, 590 at a quarter. July down 13 3/4, 608.5. May Kansas City wheat, 2.5 lower, 643 3/4. July KC HRW wheat, down 3 3/4, 650.5. And we look over at Minneapolis spring wheat. The May contract was up 18, 715 1/4. July spring wheat up 4 1/4, 707 3/4. May oats, by the way, trading about a 30-cent range, finishing down 2.5, 371 1/4. Live cattle April up 72, 185.40. June down 142, 177.15. Feeder cattle May down 67, 248.02. August down 92 at 259.62. May hogs down 25 at 94.02. And we saw June hogs unchanged at 102.47. We'll be back as we continue Market Talk here. We'll talk more with John Heimberg from Total Farm Marketing on the way right after the break.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
If you miss an episode of Market Talk, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Market Talk on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
Keeping you informed with the latest market information for your operation. This is Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
John Heimberg with Total Farm Marketing is our guest today here on Market Talk. John, let's go to livestock trade. Cattle and hogs both, just it felt like traders were cautious there Mondays. We're getting to the end of the month. They're thinking about, you know, what is that summer demand picture going to be for beef and pork? Weekly export sales haven't been phenomenal. And I know as well, it's Fed week on Wall Street, so you throw in that as well. I just think overall, this protein complex, trading very cautiously to start off the week here, John.
Yeah, I think that was a big part of it today. It was some back and fill. We had such a good close last week. supported by the cash market. I'm looking at that June contract as we're getting real close to April expiration here. You know, we got through the 100-day moving average on Friday, closed above it. We just went back, tested it, and held it very nicely this week, you know, at the start today. So, again, still think the path of least resistance right now at least still looks higher. Obviously, we got to continue to watch the headlines regarding avian influenza. Again, that just does not want to go away. Maybe that was a little part of it, just taking a little risk off here after, again, like I said, a pretty good close last week. But again, we're looking at a still a series overall of higher highs and higher lows as we're trending, you know, upward here off of this off that low from mid-April. Now we need to continue to see the cash flow come through in terms of cash trade. Retail values were firmer at midday. Again, like see that choice get back up over that 300 window, you know, trading at 297 today. So there's some things I still really like about the market. Plus, just and we just have a discrepancy from the cash market to the futures market for both lives and feeders. You know, that just that discount of the futures market to cash is something I still think is supportive overall and, you know, can push this market a little bit higher. But like I said, today felt like just a little bit of back and fill, just going to check that support level at the 100-day and it held, and we'll see what tomorrow gives us as long as those retail values stay firm. Hogs, on the other hand, that's a chart that's kind of all over the map right now in terms of where's the money flow. You know, we've seen the funds really run this thing out. Backed off a little bit, started buying again as we got that double top. But the fact that we didn't come back last week and take out that previous high, and now we're washing back down, retesting the lows, building that quote-unquote triple bottom in that this most recent range makes the chart look a little bit defensive to me here, that we could continue to see some money flow. And maybe that June hogs better off being around 97 versus, you know, 102.
I wonder too, especially on the hog side, if products can help support, cash can help support. I think at one point I saw the pork cutout on Monday was up like $7. I mean, typically that's supportive to the futures the following day. And, you know, we talked about hogs getting a little top heavy here, but, you know, I wonder as we get into summer grilling season, if we get decent demand on the pork side, maybe a little less on the beef side, if that could help support this overall hog complex, John?
You know, very much so. Again, the consumer dollar is still a big part of this. That's going to keep both these two markets kind of in check at times. Is going to be that concern regarding the consumer, where's inflation, all those things. You know, one last little point on that hog market, that the cash index has basically traded higher every week since the first of the year until last week when we were down a whopping 3 cents. You know, and then we start cash trade this week on the index down 55. You know, so are we seeing a rollover in the cash market here as we maybe hit our spring high? That could be a factor to watch, because that's not been the underlying support here. It's been those fundamentals. Retail values have been strong. Cash markets continue to trend higher. This is kind of the first little glimpse we've had since the first of the year that maybe that cash market might be getting to a peak.
John, how about the dairy trade? Any notes for us there this week?
Well, back in the $18 milk, for dairy producers, that's probably very welcome to see. Obviously, it's not the mailbox price, but at least we've had some decent support. It feels like the milk market's kind of moved past the HPAI type information, and the money's flowed in. Now, with that, we need to still find some equilibrium here. Cheese trade was unchanged today. Maybe the milk market got a little bit expensive up in this window right away, too. I think there's an opportunity for producers. Make sure you're hedging up. Maybe get out into some of those summer months here because, again, now we're back at the top of this range and then some. Maybe the milk market's got a little bit too much value in it off of that quick price move. Again, one of those slowly traded markets, at least in terms of numbers of volumes, so things can move extremely quickly. You know, it was just the first of April that we were hoping this thing would stop falling apart in the mid-15s, and now here we are at the end of April in the mid-18s. To me, it's a window that you need to make sure you're taking some advantage of that as a producer.
John, good stuff. As we wrap it up here today, any final thoughts you'd want to share or reiterate with folks listening in today?
You know, again, just make sure you're taking advantage of opportunities, especially in that cash market for grains right now. Like I said, there's some pop in that market out there. We still got some supplies that are still heavy overall. No matter if we even shave a few hundred million bushels off, we still got plenty of corn coming. And that's still, I think, going to be a wet blanket over this. You know, guys were pushing hard last week, so they weren't selling. End users want a little supply. They want to make sure they lock it in here again just before we get into the next, you know, next major planting window after these storms. So here comes an opportunity. Make sure you're taking advantage of it. you know, I'd still rather be wrong with defense given the supply picture longer term than be, you know, missing out on that opportunity. This market is still going to have a heavy supply picture in it for corn, strong demand competition for beans until we get proven otherwise later on in the year. But at least this time frame, take advantage of opportunities when they're there.
John, if folks want to reach out to you, get some advice there at Total Farm Marketing, how can they get in touch with you?
Sure, love to chat with them anytime. Give me a call, 800-334-9779. Shoot me an email at johnh@totalfarmmarketing.com. And again, don't forget that website of ours, totalfarmmarketing.com.
Always appreciate it. John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing. John, thanks for joining us. Have a great week.
Sounds good. Have a great week.
And once again, we always appreciate it. John Heinberg there with Total Farm Marketing joining us here today on Market Talk. And that is going to do it for the program. Again, fairly mixed day on Monday. Corn, May, down 3/4, 439 at a quarter. December, down 3/4, 472 at 3/4. May beans, 1 1/4 higher, 1160 at 3/4. November, up 3 1/4, 1178. May bean meal up 830 a ton, 348.30. May bean oil down 124 points, 43.69. Chicago wheat, July 13 3/4 lower, 608.5. July KC wheat down 3 3/4, 650.5. July spring wheat, that was up 4 1/4, 707 3/4. April live cattle up 72, 185.40. June down 142, 177.15. May feeder cattle were down 67, 248.02. May hogs down 25, 94.02. And June unchanged at 102.47. That's going to do it for Market Talk today. Thanks again to John Heinberg. Thanks to Eric Snodgrass with Nutrien Ag Solutions. Coming up tomorrow, Brian Split with AgMarket.net. I'm Jesse Allen. Thanks for listening. Have a great rest of your day.